There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Another hour to work with here on a Wednesday. Oh, by the way, strangest question. Is it strange? I need your advice for a couple things this hour, all right? So help me out. I just got stopped out in the lobby area. So I went to the executive washroom here at FM Talk 106.5, which is just the one that's like change babies in, even though there's nothing to change a baby in there. But it's like the bigger, you know, like the, everybody can use it. Uh-oh. The either sex, you know, whatever, washroom in there. I went in there to brush my teeth. Right, to after brush my teeth. And also because I get the joy today at the conclusion of this show of going and having them break out a DeWalt 24-volt drill and drill through my jaw, and hopefully I'll be able to make it to the morning show tomorrow. We'll see how that works. But I'm out there, and I get stopped, and somebody, I come out of the restroom, and I've got the toothbrush in my hand and the little, like, travel toothpaste. First question, I should have known. They said, what are you doing, brushing your teeth? No, I'm walking around with a toothbrush. Thanks for asking. Yes, they said, why are you doing that? Which was the second question that had me. But this person had been waiting, I guess, for a minute or two while I brushed my teeth. That's all I was doing, brush my teeth. They were bothered that they had wait there. Why would you? I said, well, because after lunch, and plus I have a dental appointment coming up right after my work. I didn't say what I did, because they're just. I said, after my work, and they said, well, they got brushes there. So there you go. There was my interaction there between last time we talked and right now. I don't know why, if you're, number one, you brush your teeth, you eat a meal, you brush your teeth. Number two, if you're going to a dental appointment, isn't it like, if we're going to put your truck up on the rack, don't you usually go just spray off the bottom so all the mud doesn't fall in our eyes and stuff like that, right? I mean, people that work in automotive, isn't it nice when somebody like cleans the truck before you go working underneath it? That's what I'm doing. All I was doing is, so why are you doing that? Strange things happen here in the building that houses FM Talk 106.5. I don't know. I wish I could have. I should have just brought that person right inside and let them be part of the show today. Hey, so from brushing my teeth, let's go. We'll just break it all down. I'm brushing my teeth. I shave. I do all these things. Why are you doing that? Why are you shaving? Because I got Harry's razors, I guess. Hey, quick heads up here. I've been telling you about Harry's for years and years and shaving with Harry's. And I love the price. I love the convenience. But all those things would not be as important as the shave, right? If the blades weren't any good, all that stuff would not be worthwhile. Lucky for us, the blades are fantastic. And Harry's has done a great job now of making me jealous, because this offer is the best introductory offer I've ever seen from Harry's in all the years I've been talking about it. 10 million of us out here shaving with Harry's. You want to join the club right now. You've been on the fence. It's time to get off the fence and get on board with us. Get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover. That's just $3 plus free shipping when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. This is the best deal yet in all the years I've been talking about them. So limited time, though, Harry's has a special offer for y'all. New customers will get $5 off a trial set from Harry's. Remember, that trial set has got what you need to shave. The 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover. Get $5 off the trial set from Harry's when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. You get all the goodies, the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, $3 to you. $3. Free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today and join the 10 million of us who have tried Harry's. Use code MOBILE at checkout to claim your offer. Let them know I sent you. Help support the show and help support me having to take questions in the lobby here of FM Talk 106.5. why are you doing that? But you know what? I mean, next time, if I think there's somebody in the building, I'm going to go in to that executive washroom, shave with Harry's, and then I'll come out and I'll say, what are you doing? Shaving. Why are you doing that? Don't know. Don't know. All right. A couple things. Looking through the text line, I want to take a few of these texts, and this will be, if you want to chime in about what Councilman Williams said, about what John Sharp said, this is your chance to do it, because I have stories on the way that will completely derail the conversation going forward. Okay? So this is, fair warning. I'm giving you fair warning right now. So don't come back later and say, well, no, I wanted to talk about it. This is it. Like I tell the kids, this is dinner time. This is when we're eating dinner. We're not eating dinner at 9:30 at night. We're eating dinner right now. Okay. Some of the text here about our conversation number one, talking about the Carnival Fantasy. It's called the Ghetto Cruise out of Mobile. Is it? Is it the low rent crew? It is. Lower costs than other cruise ships. But that's what I was asking. Because if y'all didn't catch that part of it, it seems like in John Sharp's story, the rub is Carnival wants people who sail out of Mobile to spend more money with them. That the price per, or the spending per cruiser, is that what you call them, cruiser? Spending per cruiser is lower than they'd like. Well, of course. I mean, it's revenue. But here's the problem. You get in, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. You got to have them here help finance the debt service on the parking deck at the same time. How can you make people spend as a city? Is that a fairly untenable thing? Or if you're Visit Mobile or any of these groups, how can you make some, if you get the people here and get them on the cruise ship, hasn't the city and the Visitors Commission, haven't they done their job? How do you get them to spend more money on the cruise ship? I think that's, and then if you do that, those Carnival, which is a private business and doing what they're supposed to, could go next year, yeah, that was a little bit better, but we think it should be a little bit more. I mean, what do you do to that? What do you do with that? Ben asked, can we get better cruise line coming to Mobile? I don't know. I would love that situation, right? That would be more like a market-driven situation if Mobile had, doing its best with our cruise facility, but there were other suitors out there and you're trying to work the best deal, but it's not. It seems like it's Carnival or no one right now, unless there's something working I don't know of. Okay, back to the gun thing. Law enforcement officers, if a gun is stolen from their car, will they lose their job? Don't know. If they lose their gun and don't report it, they should be fined. If they don't, they're not being a responsible gun owner. See, this is what's interesting. I try on the show to bring up both sides. If somebody's all in one camp, I'm going to bring up the other side, because I listen to y'all when you call, look at your texts, read your emails, and it seems to be kind of a split here between, should there be some sort of punishment for somebody who does not lock their car and has their gun stolen out of it? Dennis says, laws regarding firearms stolen from vehicles will be impossible to enforce without gun registration. Dennis, I think you're right in the specific definition, and obviously they're not going to push for the gun registration, because maybe you'll have a few people out there that will self-report, right? And will say, hey, I had it stolen from this vehicle and it was unlocked. But Dennis, the way I see it is, if people will report, and everybody who I respect in law enforcement who's come in here and said, Sean, it's a big deal to have people let us know when a gun's stolen, because it helps us set up a geographical link and a timeline. When we find that gun in another crime, we can figure things out from it. They didn't talk about all their methods and strategies, but they said it's a big deal. But Dennis, I agree with you that if somebody's going to say, yeah, I had the gun stolen and my car was locked. I mean, who's going to... There's a few people, but that will self-report. And then Fred, yes, Fred suggested, too, am I going to talk about National Haiku Day again? I am going to do that today, but that's just one of the things that's going to derail everything. So that's on the way. That National Haiku Day in the mix. A couple stories, and we will deliver on the Easter eggs, why I'm playing the Streets of San Francisco theme, and why I have Grandma saying, crack a pie-ow. Okay, details on that on the way. This is your last chance if you wanted to keep the discussion on locked-up guns or Carnival cruise lines. Because beyond this, we're not coming back. At least not today. We're not going to come back from this. Stay close and prepare yourself.
This is Midday Mobile. Daymobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By the way, while we're talking about things down on the waterfront, looks like, unless something changes, I had this scheduled since last week, former mayor of the city, Mike Dow, going to join us tomorrow in the noon hour on the Daymobile, talk about his new gig running things at Gulf Quest. So that's noon tomorrow, Mike Dow, right here on Midday Mobile. All right, and we may have a chance here to have to look at just kind of work and schedule things or kind of moving here. We may be going to Montgomery to talk more about this constitutional carry, the push against having concealed carry permits in the state of Alabama. We talked about Gerald Allen's bill. Some of the supporters of this in the Senate as well going to be on with us most likely a little after 1:30. So let me get to this these stories here I wanted to pay off today. All right. Number one story, I don't know which one to do first. I really don't. But I'll go low first. Okay, I will go low first, and then we can end on a happy note. The low is, if you've looked at my Twitter feed here recently, how am I going to get through this story? I posted a story up about the city of San Francisco. Okay, the city of San Francisco, and one of the big issues they've had, we've talked about it before. Dalton and I have talked about it on the show. And now it's a story meeting up with, with technology. And that is the problem with people. Don't have, you know, I should have thought how I was going to refer to this, you know, as I got the show. How was I going to make it through this without saying?
I will say that there's more feces than I've ever seen, for sure. And that is a huge problem. And we're not just talking about from dogs. We're talking about from humans.
Maybe that's right. Maybe I'll just let her say it, the mayor there of San Francisco. Yeah, it's a thing now. The GIS mapping is now up, and I've put the link through on my Twitter feed. I hope you're following me at FM Talk 106.5, so you can go see the map. It doesn't, you're not going to see anything. You're not going to see anything gross there, unless you can imagine what the map is showing you. But in this story, GIS mapping, so the kind of mapping that shows you has the different layers of this, that, and the other, has now been used and implemented in the world of people's stuff on the ground in San Francisco. All right, so here is the here's the story as it goes. Yeah, I shouldn't say it that way. A group out there, a group called Open the Books, has plotted more than 100,000 incidents of reported public pooping on a city map. They didn't poop on the map. They've shown it on the map. I knew I wouldn't get through this. Since 2011, there have been at least 118,352 reported instances of human fecal matter on the city streets of San Francisco. Last year, the number of public stuff reported spiked to an all-time high at 28,084. Now, let me hit rewind for a second. This means someone has reported that this stuff is out there. Somebody has contacted authorities, told them it was there. They've confirmed it's there. Okay, they've confirmed it's there. They've gone out and, I guess, documented it's there, and then it becomes of record, and then they put it on this GIS map. In the first quarter of this year, the pace has continued, they say, with 6,676 instances of human waste in the public's way. City of San Francisco even has a, they can't call them, the poop patrol team, consisting of 5 workers who clean up the stuff when it's in public spaces in the city of San Francisco. Beautiful San Francisco. The streets of San Francisco aren't as safe as maybe they were in the 70s. So this map is up there. I put the link through on the Twitter feed. They've gone and actually they will show you where the stuff is. They go on to say they don't believe this is all the stuff out there because, well, people don't report all of it. It says, it goes on in the story story from hotair.com. Nearly 3/4 of the reports came from just 10 neighborhoods in San Francisco. Of those, 3 had by far the highest numbers of stuff. The Tenderloin neighborhood accounted for 30,863 reports of stuff. South of Market, 23,599 incidences of stuff. And the Mission District, 19,150 incidences of the stuff. And when you look at this map, this GIS map that's linked through on the Twitter feed, you'll see you can zoom in and zoom out to see the problem areas for San Francisco. They said there are suspiciously few reports from public park areas in the city, but of course the map represents public complaints. So if someone did not see a human stuffed behind a tree or assumed that it was a dog's, they probably didn't file a report. So I would imagine the parks there. I mean, if this is what people are stepping over on the sidewalk, what must the parks be like? Obviously, San Francisco has a serious problem. Remember, San Francisco, sanctuary city, right? Everything's okay. Everything's cool. Nothing's not okay. They obviously have a lot of people there that are homeless. That accounts for this issue, and they're a welcoming place, and those people are blanking all over the city of San Francisco. So there you go. This is really a combined me telling you the story and then really urging you to go to twitter.com, find me at FM Talk 106.5, and go see the GIS map. You're not going to see anything. You're going to not see any actual photographs or anything, but you're going to see the density of reports of this stuff. Which maybe if they start overlaying, you know how GIS maps are layers, if they could overlay like where they find the needles and all that kind of stuff from the drug use. What a beautiful city San Francisco is. Beautiful. I mean, I've said it a million times. People say, California could fall off in the Pacific. I would strongly disagree with you. Now, California could tilt and shake a little bit and shake the people off in the Pacific, but the state is gorgeous. Gorgeous. All right. So I said, after that lowdown story there, we'd rescue things and tell you about a happy story. Now, maybe not all hosts would tell you this is a happy story, but the way I see the world, it is a happy story. When grandmas kick butt, I think that's a good thing. That's a certain well of news stories that I like to pull my sustenance from. Story from our news partners at WKRG, but they're carrying a story from WGFL out of Gainesville, Florida. It says a bat-wielding grandma fights off a half-naked burglary suspect. So let's go. We've got to do this thing justice. We have to give you the audio of this story. Here it is from the Gainesville CBS station.
Good morning. When Clarice Gainey said that she heard a noise outside her apartment, she peeked out her window to see a large, police say 300-pound man pulling on her car door handle and knocking on its window, attempting to break in, all while only wearing his boxers.
So I grabbed my bat, I braced myself, I eased the door open.
That's when Gainey says 5'6", 300-pound Antonio Mosley charged her. Little did he know, she was a high school softball player, 65-year-old slugger.
Can y'all stop that. Can we go right back? The description of the suspect here, can we? No, go back to the descriptor. Okay, we got that? Let's see.
300-pound Antonio Mosley charged her.
I opened the door.
That's when Gainey says 5'6", 300-pound Antonio Mosley.
5'6", 300. Okay, just checking.
Mosley charged her. Little did he know, she was a high school softball player, a 65-year-old slugger.
I took that bat and hit him upside a pie. He said, oh!
That's when police say Mosley ran to a nearby mobile home park, leaving behind his jeans, shirt, and a sock.
He was in his drawers. He didn't have no shoes on, no shirt, or nothing.
Police say a canine unit tracked Mosley down inside a mobile home with new pants on and cocaine in his pocket. Officers brought him back to Gainey to identify him.
I said, yeah. I said, that's him right there. They said, Miss Gainey, he got a big knot on his head.
Mosley was booked in the Alachua County Jail with two charges of burglary and drug possession.
If he better be glad I didn't have a gun, because I would have shot him. But this is my gun right here, because I'm going, Argyle.
In Gainesville, Jocelyn Howard, CBS for you.
There you go. Another thing linked through, maybe we'll get that over on our Facebook page as well. So, you know, grandma's kicking butt story. So she'd have shot him. She didn't have the gun. She had the aluminum bat. So you get the crack of the bat, a little different than the wooden crack of the bat on side the head of the suspect, the perp here, right? Who is 5'6", 300. Okay. And with that, we'll head to the second half of this hour. And by the way, on the text line, oh, come on, y'all. If you're new to listening to the show, listen for a couple weeks before you chime in. I do know what you can and can't say on the radio, but I also know what I can and can't say without cracking up on the radio. So I'm not making, no, Chester and others, I'm not making any Rice-A-Roni, make no Rice-A-Roni jokes. That is ridiculous about that San Francisco story. It would have been a very immature person that would have had that queued up and was going to play.
Rice-A-Roni.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Okay, we'll be back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, coming up, the constitutional carry discussion we've had earlier in the week. We'll talk about from the front lines and Montgomery in just a second. I do want y'all to say hello to my buddy Angelo from Mobile Bay Coins, who was in a rapt conversation last night with Ron and Johnny about metal detecting. And what do they go? Detectorist or whatever you call those people, right?
I guess they're called detectorists. And actually, it's a weird little story that you can check out. Obviously, you could have listened last night, but if you missed it, check it out Sunday or go to our website and check it out. There were actually some shrimpers out of Bala Battery that were out there looking for shrimp and ended up with some sunken treasure. How cool would that have been?
Yeah, it's a pretty good. Even even as much as I love like a big like a 12 count shrimp, I mean, if I can find some, you know, gold and stuff like that, I'm for it. Hey, if somebody got their own treasure back with their own money, got their tax return in, have a little extra money in their pocket, we've talked about selling stuff, but what about buying stuff? What's cool right now? Let's do a little over-the-shoulder tour through Mobile Bay Coins.
Yeah, so you walk through the door and you can't decide whether to go left or right. Right directly in front of you are those one-ounce Trump White House silver rounds that we've been talking about have been so popular. Now, if you veer to the right, there's a lot of really cool jewelry, estate jewelry, sterling silver pieces, gold pieces. So if you know you're going to get yourself something cool like that new boat we've been talking about, and you got to get something to get the missus, you know, cool down a little bit, take a look at that jewelry. I'll check out those things. If you're not in that position or you're not there yet, then go ahead and keep looking at the coins. Maybe look at some of those gold and silver bullion pieces. We've got all sorts of cool items there at the shop. And, of course, it always ends up in my favorite section, the El Pinal Knives, right there by me.
All right. Give people directions to come out and see you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. Or you can check us out on the web at mobilebaycoins.com. Or go on to Facebook and like and follow us there.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins. And we're going to have a voice from the past on this radio show and a new voice as well as we talk about what's being debated right now in Montgomery. And DJ Parton, who DJ was first on the radio with me a long time ago, not that I'm getting older, but we're talking about Second Amendment issues on the campus of the University of South Alabama. And now, all these years later, and neither of us are any older, but DJ is with the National Association for Gun Rights and joins us here on Midday Mobile. Hey, DJ.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me.
And, yeah, pleasure, man, and good to get you back on. And Andrew Sorrell, state rep here in Alabama. Andrew, thanks for being on.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, you're a District 3. Tell folks where you're out of. What's the home stomping grounds?
Yeah, District 3 is in northwest Alabama, so I represent Muscle Shoals, Florence, Sheffield, and Tuscumbia.
Oh, I mean, like Fame Studios and all that is...
That's correct.
Ooh.
Yes, that's all in my district.
Oh, how cool is that? All right, I want to talk about constitutional carry. We've talked about this issue this week a few times. Had a Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran on. He was talking about it. I've heard that from folks I talked to in law enforcement, they don't want to do away with the concealed carry requirement. But legislation, Gerald Allen's bill, the bill you're sponsoring here, you're pushing to do what? I mean, describe it in your own words. What is constitutional carry?
Constitutional carry restores our constitutional rights that have been eroded away over the decades. And the Second Amendment is very clear. It says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. We're requiring somebody to get a background check and pay a $10 or $20 a year annual fee and carry a card with them in order to carry a weapon concealed on their body or in their car is obviously a violation of our Second Amendment rights. My bill would correct that.
And the limitations as it stands, I think you put it pretty clearly there, because we are an open carry state, but the second somebody gets in their vehicle, right, that's concealed. Everybody thinks about concealed on their person, but in addition, in that vehicle, it becomes a concealed.
Well, let me give you an example of this. I got married to a girl from South Carolina. She moved over here and took my car to the grocery store before I realized I had a gun in the glove box. Now, if my wife had been pulled over, she would have been a felon in Alabama, and that's crazy. That's how absurd our gun laws are right now.
And Andrew or DJ, either of y'all, what do you say to folks that in law enforcement? I mean, I know these people personally, at least some sheriffs down here. They're pretty solid Second Amendment guys. They've been gun friendly, and they say, Sean, this is an issue for safety of our officers and our deputies when they come up on a vehicle and there's a gun, and this person claims it's not theirs, and somebody else is it's not theirs. What do you say to them? They say to them, it's a safety issue.
Well, Sean, this is DJ, I'd like to take that one if you don't mind.
Okay.
Constitutional carry is now law in 15 states. Three of them passed this year with the help of the National Association for Gun Rights. And we have plenty of evidence to the contrary. There is no evidence whatsoever in those 15 states supporting the idea that officers are more at risk. In fact, statistics show that people who are your typical gun owner is more law-abiding than law enforcement, actually. Both of them are very low crime rates, but the your typical gun owner is more law-abiding. So there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever to back up the idea that officers would be unsafe if that piece of paper was no longer required.
But when the angle would be when they come up and they see that concealed carry permit, they know just what you said, right? That they know that that person is the legal gun owner has they're safe around that person versus somebody who could be there with a stolen weapon. That they could be a stolen weapon, be up to no good with it. That person doesn't have a concealed carry permit because they wouldn't have passed muster on getting issued that, and there's a red flag.
Well, sorry, my mind just went blank.
No, I'm just saying that if they come up to a vehicle, they've the way described to me is they said, "Hey, we like it, if you show us your concealed carry permit, because we know that you are vetted at a higher degree." You just made the point that gun owners in general are at a low incidence of crime, but I mean, when you're talking about it, you're talking about people that have their guns to protect themselves and protect themselves from all kind of things out there. They are the people you're least worried about. But, I mean, it's every day in the news, right, DJ, that, I mean, there's bad guys are getting guns, stealing it from law-abiding people or wherever they're getting them, and they're committing crimes with them.
Well, we wholeheartedly support law enforcement. We want them to be as safe as possible. But that doesn't mean you can start infringing on the right to keep and bear arms. And requiring a law-abiding gun owner to ask for government permission and then pay a fee, essentially a tax, in order to exercise their right is simply absurd.
I want to go ahead.
And law enforcement all across the country is trained to approach every vehicle as if there's a firearm in it, as if you're not dealing with a good guy. So that they're already trained to do that, and if a permit holder gets pulled over, an officer walks up to the vehicle, they don't have a duty to tell that officer that they're carrying. So a lot of gun owners actually won't show their permit, and there's no way for the officer to know one way or the other. So they have to be trained this way in order to keep them safe. So it really makes no difference whether there's a requirement for a permit or not.
Talking about this constitutional carry, and Representative Sorrell, let's talk about this and what's happening right now in Montgomery with it. There's a Senate bill and there's a House bill. How close is your bill to Senator Allen's bill? I mean, is there much difference between the two?
No, there's not very many differences. There's three or four small differences that I think make my bill slightly better. Of course, I'm partial to my bill.
Yeah, it's your bill. It. Yeah, I would hope so, yeah.
So, of course, I would prefer to see my version of the bill adopted. However, you know, Senator Allen's bill is moving up in the Senate. It's probably going to get out of Tourism Committee next week and then be on the floor for a vote up there at the end of next week or the beginning of the week after. And that bill has already passed twice the last 2 years out of the Senate. Where we need to see some action and some movement is down in the House. And my bill has been assigned to the Public Safety Committee, and that's where it gets assigned to die. The chairman of the Public Safety Committee is not in favor of the bill, and I put in a request to have the bill sent to a different committee, and that request was denied. So that's where we're at right now. I'm in the process of trying to convince the committee chairman and leadership to let my bill have a hearing.
And this is what we do. I know we haven't had you on the show before, but on this show, we pull back curtains and we let people know how things really work. So you're saying the committee assignment for your bill was a way to keep it off the floor. Is that what you're saying?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's at the speaker's discretion where the bill goes, and everybody in Alabama knows if it goes to the Public Safety Committee, it's not even going to get a hearing. So, you know, I requested that it was sent to any committee other than that one, and like I say, my request was not honored.
Now, what about the, and I have not had a chance, and I can't wait to look at your bill, but I know I've looked in the past at versions, maybe not this year, of Senator Allen's bill, but it did come back and say, we would retain, it wouldn't be a requirement to have a concealed carry permit, but we would retain it for folks like me or whatever that might travel out of state, you know, and because for reciprocity reasons, we'd have to have something.
Well, that's an excellent point. I'm really glad you brought that up. My bill does leave the permitting process in place, and for two reasons. Number one, the reciprocity you mentioned. But number two, I own two gun stores. If you walk in, you're a regular customer or whatever, you've got a pistol permit, you slap it down on the counter, I don't have to run a background check on you, all right? If you have a pistol permit in Alabama, I can sell you a gun, write down your pistol permit number, and I don't have to run the background check. So it speeds up business for both me, the business owner, and a customer who regularly trades firearms.
Yeah, you know what I've been calling that process there. I call that the speed pass, Andrew. For like my kids, we get the speed pass for Disney for their dad. That's yes. My speed pass when I may or may not acquire additional firearms. Okay, you're saying that this is you're trying to get this moved out of the committee in the House. That's the first battle to be able to get it out of there. So if people are listening to you and saying, yeah, I agree with Representative Sorrell, what do they need to say if they call their rep? What do they say? What message? What? Give me a bill number. Tell them what to do.
Yeah, they need to request that the constitutional carry bill be moved by the committee chairman, whose name is Alan Treadaway. They need to request that their representative go speak to Representative Treadaway and ask him to allow a hearing and a vote on the bill.
Okay, so that's the message. If they're calling the switchboard up there at Goat Hill right now, that's what they need to say.
That's correct.
I have a quick addition to that, Sean.
Okay, yeah, DJ.
So Speaker Mac McCutcheon has been opposed to this bill for years. I believe this is the third year that constitutional carry has been introduced. And ultimately, it all lays at his feet. He assigned it to a committee specifically to kill this legislation. And he has the power and the authority to make things move when he wants them to. So definitely call your local state representatives. I believe there are several in your listening area. But also give Speaker McCutcheon a call and urge him to stop opposing constitutional carry, publicly support it, and then move it out of committee.
All right, there we go. DJ and Andrew, I appreciate y'all's time. Thanks for being on today, and we'll keep an eye on what's happening in Montgomery with this. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, there you go. So, like I said, I've tried to give you both sides here. We've talked to Sheriff Sam Cochran, others in law enforcement that say, you know what, doing away with conceal and carry is not a good thing for the state, not a good thing for law enforcement. There are groups out there like National Association for Gun Rights and NRA and other groups that are backing this idea for constitutional carry. So there's both sides of it, and it is being debated right now during session in Montgomery. That and about 1,500 other things as well, which we'll try to touch on some of those when we return right here on Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, as we wrap it up, I wish I had a haiku for this. As we wrap it up on a Wednesday, we will talk about National Haiku Day. And by the way, tomorrow, as you heard the promo from our buddy Gordon Deal there, Mueller Report out tomorrow. I have no haiku for that. I do want to do it in Mad Lib form. If we could get the report early enough and take it and in the redacted sections of the Mueller report, put in, you know, adverb, noun, proper name, something like, and we could build our own redacted sections of the Mueller report. I would find that entertaining. We'll see if we can get that done. But yeah, today is Haiku Day, National Haiku Day. Right, I didn't know till I woke up this morning either there was such a thing as National Haiku Day, but it's here. And I actually do talk about haikus some off air because looking at a handful of people on Twitter, a lot of those being President Trump's tweets, and along with a handful of texters here to the... And we have like over 1,000, I think, is it, active texters on our text line at 343-0106. It's a bunch. Now, some of y'all are way more prolific than others, but we have that many like individuals with a regular basis here. And but there's a handful of y'all that text in kind of a haiku form. And it just, I say that because it seems like you're leaving out articles and adjectives, just kind of going straight to just words. And jumping ahead to a word from what would be the next sentence or something down the road. And so we talk about haikus, but yet today officially National Haiku Poetry Day, which depends on, if you're going to do it, I guess, the official way, the Japanese way, it is a 5-7-5 syllabic structure, okay? But they say American haikus can deviate from that, but that's the original structure. So with that being said, I figured we'd talk about a few haikus. And it started off this morning with Dalton cracking me up with one of these, let's say, different haikus out there from the folks over at Ranker, which Ranker is a website. If you ever find yourself for some reason with time that you just don't need to savor, you can go to Ranker and vote things up or down in a list, and today no different. For National Haiku Poetry Day, they have people ranking funny haikus. I did see one from another site, Dalton. This one said, haikus are easy, but sometimes they don't make sense. Refrigerator. It's one of the haikus. This one here that Dalton read us this morning at the end of the 8 o'clock hour, I drink brake fluid. They say I'm addicted, but I can always stop. That's a... It's number two right now, Dalton, on the Ranker list. All right, this one called Imposters. Okay, it's number four on their list. Wolf in sheep's clothing meets a sheep in wolf's clothing. Confusion abounds. So, one of the haikus. The Mathematician, this one's called A Couple of Equations, the name of this haiku, which I like the title of a haiku can almost be as long as the haiku. A Couple of Equations. The Mathematician plotting his past relations, X and Y axis. And that would be EX and WHY axis. Pretty darn clever. This one, number six on their list, called Shedding Your Layers. I shed my old skin. It's not some deep metaphor. I just have a sunburn. Okay, these are some of the haikus that are trending right now over at Ranker. People are voting them up and down. I'll have to say one of my favorites, though, and we'll probably close out. Well, okay, I'll read one more, and then I'll read my close out. The number 10 on their list right now, called Lord of the Zingers, says, this haiku, no login needed, so what I really mean is, you shall not password. Lord of the Zingers. And then this one entitled Some Dad Humor, which, by the way, dads out there, if you notice that we now have our own hashtag and the stuff that we just do because we're dads, right? The stuff that, I want to tell the kids, there are funnier jokes than that, but because y'all are young and I'm not going to say certain things in front of you, you get the dad humor. So we dads, by just our nature, are doing dad jokes. Now it's identified, we're branded as doing dad humor, dad jokes. And now a haiku about us, called Some Dad Humor. I don't have any kids, but I like making dad jokes. I am a faux pas. F-A-U-F-A-U-F-A-U-X-P-A. Faux pas. And with that, bid you adieu on this National Haiku Day. They'll make you up a haiku and share it with the people in your life, and they'll probably ask you to stop. But until that point, you'll have a lot of fun. All right, see y'all mañana for Mobile Mornings. Remember, website, fmtalk1065.com, chock full of goodness, like podcast, online opinion poll questions, show schedules, top three news stories of the day, and a whole lot more. Check it out. Feinbaum is next.